morning, friends. It's Friday here at Coast Community Radio, and I'm your host, Jim Wilkins, ably assisted by Master Engineer Terry Wilson, and produced by Kathleen Morgain. And I'm happy to have with our guest here today is Zeddy Niemelwell, who is a candidate for Astoria City Council. Zeddy, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me. I always love being at KMUN. I grew up here, so I like being here, but this is definitely a different role, a new one for me.
But you seem to be doing fairly well at it.
Well, thank you.
I'd like to start out with a little biographical sketch of you and your life, and how'd you get to here?
Okay, well, I grew up in Astoria. I graduated from Astoria High. I went to University of Oregon, studied journalism and Spanish, and I worked in broadcast news, both in television and radio. As an adult, I returned to Astoria about 11 years ago, and I worked in radio news. I started my own business, Coffee Girl, at Pier 39, married Chris Niemelwell from Fort George Brewery, and we now have three lovely children. Two of those children are at Astor School in kindergarten and first grade as we speak, and our toddler is with Chris listening at home right now.
Well, that's good for him. How did you decide to run for Astoria City Council?
Well, I really got interested in politics, local politics, when I was a news reporter in Eugene. I covered city politics, everything up to the legislature, and I started to get very interested in politics at that time as a reporter. And when I moved back to Astoria and I was a reporter, I also got to know in depth a lot of the newsmakers and a lot of the news happening. And so I'm fascinated with it, and I have a depth of knowledge from that level. And 9 years ago, Willis Van Dusen appointed me to Planning Commission, and I've gotten reappointed a couple of times. And so I understand city government from that perspective, and I've really enjoyed the work. And I'm running for city council because I'm ready to take a more proactive role in an elected position, and one in which I can set annual goals.
Well, that sounds pretty exciting. I remember that when you came back here from Eugene, I ran into you at the Columbian Cafe, and you actually helped initially to work with me on this show. Remember that?
I will never forget that, and I really appreciated it because, you know, even though I had worked my way up from an intern to a news anchor at the NBC affiliate in Eugene, I had to get my foot in the door somewhere in Astoria. And that was really my foot in the door to everything that's happened. Frankly, I ended up getting a paid position here at KMUN. It was part-time, and I had to take care of myself. So eventually I got a full-time job at what Terry used to call Brand X, K-A-S-T. But I'd always been very entrepreneurial, so I was happy to start my own business too. Oh, and I should mention too, I don't know how I left this one out. This is a big part of my life, but I work at Astoria Co-op Grocery. I'm the marketing director there, and I really enjoy my work there, and it's a great blend of my business and journalism skills. So I'm very happy to be a part of that growing business.
Well, part of your growing up took you to Maui. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. My mom married a pro windsurfer and a windsurfing instructor, and she said, "We're moving to Maui." And I said, "Oh my gosh, how could you move to Maui? Because I'm not, you know, I'd have to leave all my friends and all my plans." Believe it or not, I didn't want to go to school in Maui. I wouldn't have mind visiting there, but she did. And so I said, "Well, I'm gonna stay with my dad in Astoria." So I did do some high school in Astoria, and I also did some high school in Maui. because it was pretty tough to be away from my mom or dad for that long. So I kind of went back and forth in high school and came back to Astoria my senior year and graduated from Astoria High School. Living in Maui was really different culturally than growing up in Astoria. I realized for the first time in my life that I was white. Believe it or not. I mean, I was with a lot of different ethnical groups. I was there were not very many Howleys, as they called them at the school, but fortunately I made friends with the locals. There's, you know, mixes of Hawaiian, Filipino, Japanese there, and I learned their beautiful culture and, you know, hula dancing that tells stories and ukulele playing and a little bit of the Hawaiian language. You know, everybody has a Hawaiian name, a middle name that their grandma gives them, that their grandma actually dreams in, has a vision about their Hawaiian name. So there's some really wonderful things about that culture. So I'm glad that I got a chance to experience
it. Yeah, I wonder if you could expand on that, Zeddy. I spent some time on Maui, and I developed a profound respect for the Hawaiian culture. It's quite a bit different than ours. And I wondered if you could talk about that a little bit.
Well, when you go to Hawaii, when you go to Maui and you look at the land, the Iao Valley, for example, and you hear about the ancient warriors that used to exist there, or you go to some of these waterfalls that have Hawaiian royalty roots, I think the land there is very spiritual in a way, and you almost have to go there and feel it. I mean, you can kind of look around and it almost seems like the trees and the flowers are alive, and I don't know, it's kind of hard to describe, but I feel that way around here too. You know, I grew up in the woods out in Olney, and when I walk through the forest around here, you know, I really do feel a very strong connection, for sure.
Yeah. Well, I know that having spent some time on the Planning Commission, that is really good. Experience to take to the city council. Now, did you learn about how Oregon land use law came about?
I believe it was in the 1970s that Oregon land use law came to be, and there's several principles, and it aims to balance conservation and development. That's something that we have been working on at the Planning Commission level recently with the Riverfront Vision Plan implementation. The Riverfront Vision Plan is a planning document, as you know, that was adopted in 2009, and it really aims to provide balance along the waterfront in Astoria in terms of development and conservation.
Now, I'm going to ask you to refresh my memory here, but it seems to me that you guys on the Planning Commission spent a lot of time taking public testimony, researching, and coming up with this development plan. And you passed it on to the city council, and it became altered significantly. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, I think the bulk of what the Planning Commission did forward to city council was retained, and I'm very happy about what was retained. The Civic Greenway portion of the Riverfront Vision Plan calls for a blueway zone, which is an overwater area with no development. Now, we achieved that from the Maritime Museum to the East Mooring Basin. The implementation plan calls for no overwater development above bank height. So that's pretty significant when you're looking at 16th Street to 41st. That's what the Civic Greenway encompasses. So that's the majority of the city blocks in that area that the views will be preserved forever. You know, right now there's no plans for development there, but certainly we're looking down the road into the future. We're looking 10, 20, 50 years from now. market changes could occur, and there could be another strong push for developing on the waterfront, like there was back in 2009 when the Riverfront Vision Plan was adopted. We had 17 talked about waterfront condo proposals in Astoria, and a lot of fear stemmed from that about Astoria's character being altered in a major way from that. So the Riverfront Vision Plan was an effort to engage everyone in the community who wanted to have an input and to try to find a good balanced approach for our future. Now, it's been a little bit of lag time since 2009, but we're going to be taking a look at the Bridge Vista area actually coming up this week at the or next week on Tuesday at the Planning Commission. So now we're done with the Civic Greenway, and we'll be looking at Bridge Vista next.
Well, didn't the port step into that discussion and end up making some changes in that plan?
Yeah. In 2009, the port was just asking to simply be able to maintain its facility at the East Mooring Basin. When we were hearing public testimony for the Civic Greenway implementation, Port Interim Director Mike Weston gave testimony asking for there to be fewer restrictions than proposed at the port's property over water at the East Mooring Basin and on land. So what the Planning Commission came up with was an approach where the port could have limited development over water at the East Mooring Basin. So buildings would have to be 500 feet out so you could see water if you were on the river walk. And building height would be limited to no more than 28 feet in height. So I thought that that was in the spirit of the Riverfront Vision Plan in terms of a balanced approach that had the Blue Way Zone and some building uses, I should also say, that were marine dependent. So we're not talking about condos being built out there or anything like that. But marine-dependent uses. So that did alter at the city council level a little bit. The port successfully got a master planning overlay accomplished at the city council level that the Planning Commission did not accept. So that portion did change, and that's not one that I side with. I am happy, like I say, with what we did get accomplished. But I don't think that that port overlay in the East Mooring Basin is necessary. I think that it probably gives the port a little bit more ability to develop in the future, even though the city council will be reviewing any plans for that in a way that might not be in the spirit of the Civic Greenway Plan, which really calls for very little overwater development, and any that would occur would be marine-related uses. So if I'm on city council, I'm certainly going to be looking at that, and I think development there needs to be looked at very carefully.
Well, I'd like to remind our listeners that it's Friday here at Coast Community Radio. We're visiting with Zeddy Nimowell, who is a candidate for Astoria City Council, and that's Ward 1, is it, Zeddy?
That's right, Ward 1. Yeah, you live in Ward 1.
I live
walk
in
by
Ward
your
1.
House all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, I see you walking by, and Chris sometimes walks by.
Yeah.
So, assuming that you get elected to the council, you do have some competition. In fact, we'll be talking with him next week. But assuming that you get elected, what kind of vision, what kind of programs, what kind of stuff do you hope to accomplish?
Well, I'm really interested in exploring ways to develop our local economy. I think Astoria's character is one of a kind. It's always been about the worker. We're a strong year-round community, and in order for that to continue to occur, we need to have good jobs here. And I would like to look at ways of doing that in a way that is really in harmony with our livability. So not bringing in dirty industry by any means, but good jobs. You know, In my little world, I am looking at the Fort George and the co-op as really good examples. Together, these two businesses employ more than 100 people with good jobs, and they're growing. These are businesses that appeal to locals, so they're very strong year-round businesses, but they're also ones that attract tourists, which is wonderful. But I think the really successful businesses in Astoria are ones that locals use year-round. Locals are bread and butter, and tourists come here, and they see that locals like the place, and they like it too. The authenticity of Astoria. That's the un-Disneyland-like thing of Astoria. And also producing things in a rural area that you can sell in an urban market makes a whole heck of a lot of sense to me. And I would love to support other entrepreneurs that might be interested in that. You know, I think we've got so many wonderful entities working on behalf of businesses right now. The ADHDA, that's the Astoria Downtown Historic District Association, and CEDAR and the Chamber of Commerce, Port of Astoria, too. Perhaps there needs to be a little bit more communication with the Port of Astoria.
That was exactly the next question that I was going to ask you. Uh-huh. Is can you envision a way that the Astoria City Council and the City of Astoria can partner more closely with the port regarding economic development?
Oh, yeah. I think just communication to start out with. The city and the port have not been talking.
Well, the port's been kind of in disarray for many years, but it seems to me, from at least my perspective, that they're kind of starting to get their stuff together. Mike Weston is a good guy. I haven't met the new guy yet, the new director that they've hired. But John Reichel's played a big part in bringing the port into a more rationally oriented way of going about its business. So but how can you envision any kind of partnership with the port as far as bringing economic development here?
Well, I'm really hopeful that the new port director will help the situation.
Have you met him?
There were two competing events last night. One was Meet the Port Director, and the other was a community open house for the new football field. And given that I was with the family, I went out to the football field so the kids could run around on that.
Yeah, that place is great.
Yeah, it's just mind-boggling to me that, you know, we used to go to the dump there, and now it's a really state-of-the-art athletic field. It's what an amazing collaboration with so many different entities there. But I really do look forward to meeting the port director. I've talked to somebody who is on the selection committee for hiring him. That's Bruce Jones, and he has good things to say about him and is really hopeful. And so I think it's important that we keep our local control of electing port commissioners. And I am hopeful that things are going to get better at the port, but I think the city needs to kind of, you know, stay on them. I think that we need to demand excellence. And, you know, I got to meet June Spence, and she was on the Port Commission a number of years ago. And I said, what do you think we should do about, you know, this problems at the port and, you know, the economic opportunity that we might not be tapping into as a city as a result of that? And she said there used to be somebody from the city council that talked regularly with the port, and just, you know, that simple regular communication would be a good way to start.
Yeah, you mentioned the new sports facility, which I agree with you. It's an amazing area out there. It used to be the dump where you put your garbage. But anyway, that's one of the things that Mayor Willis Van Dusen kind of helped shepherd. And there's four different entities there. The hospital, of course, provided the bulk of the funding, and the garbage companies in their school district. But it's kind of part of Willis's legacy from my perspective. What other things do you think that we can think back that Willis helped the city. I mean, how did he? He's a strong, charismatic personality. Did a lot for the city. Maybe you could talk a little bit about that since he's not running again.
Well, I think Willis has been at the captain of the ship through the Astoria Renaissance, and there are so many amazing things that I could list that we could all think about and imagine. But one thing that I always think about when I think about Willis is that he loves Astoria, and he has been passionate to serve as mayor, and I love Astoria too. And, you know, even though Willis and I don't always see eye to eye, we share that passion for Astoria. And I think if we can all look at what we've got in common, and pretty much everybody here is here by choice, we all love Astoria, we can get a lot of good things done.
Well, be more specific. A lot of good things. What are those, Zeddy?
Well, what are you thinking of? Explain your question a little bit more.
Well, what projects, what kind of goals would you set for the council going forward?
Well, because I haven't been on city council, it's a little bit tough for me to list everything that I would do right now. But one thing in particular that I'm excited about, in addition to implementation of the Riverfront Vision Plan, is the Trails Master Plan. That's another one that involved extensive public input, and it's a wonderful planning document right now that's sitting at City Hall that calls for the construction, connection, and maintenance of the trail system in the urban forest of Astoria. Now, this is an exciting project because trails don't cost a lot of money to produce, and there's a lot of different agencies within the area that can help maintain them. You know, talking about Job Corps, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, the Lewis and Clark National Historical Park could provide great expertise in creating these trails. The Trails Master Plan was based on some information from the state that talked about how important outdoor recreation and hiking is to people. And the people that were surveyed in Astoria said that walking trails and hiking were a big priority for them. In 2007, after the big windstorm, a lot of the trails got wiped out and the connections to them also got wiped out. So this plan kind of calls for rehabbing some of those connections. So in terms of livability for local people, I think developing the trail system a little bit more would be a wonderful, tangible thing that we could do. And that's another situation where you could apply the Astoria for Astorians principle, and the tourists will also follow.
You know, there's a couple of properties down on 9th that are owned by the favelas that have been abandoned. What can you see the city doing regarding the redevelopment of that of those buildings?
That's a good question. You know, the city has been working on that, you know, for quite a long time with the nuisance ordinance, and still no progress on that. I would be really interested in hearing people's ideas. I don't have a clear vision for that right now. I will say I'm very impressed with the ADHDA. You know, I go to those meetings and Dulcie Taylor runs them, and there's just so much laughter and camaraderie among the downtown merchants. I think ADHDA could probably provide a very powerful vision and voice about what to do with those properties.
You know, you mentioned in passing earlier development at the west side of Astoria, the kind of the visioning plan that you did on the east side. Can you elaborate on the process that's going to happen in the West End, which I think is also an urban renewal district? Yeah, it is.
A portion of it may be in the urban renewal district, but it goes from about 2nd Street to just to the east of Portway. So it encompasses a pretty large area, which happens to be in Ward 1. And this one in the Riverfront Vision Plan calls for a mix of residential and commercial development that complements Astoria's working waterfront and historic character. It also includes public access if there is any overwater development. And I don't really like to make my mind up about something like this until I do a lot of research on it. And part of that research includes hearing from the public. So I'm really hoping to see a lot of you out at the Planning Commission meeting on Tuesday night. The work session on the Riverfront Vision Plan is going to occur right after our regular meeting, which starts at 6:30.
Well, the Port of Astoria owns a lot of that property that we're talking about, and a few years ago they hired, I believe, CH2M Hill to do a development proposal, and it was elaborate, multicolored, many-page document that the port has. Have you seen that?
I have not.
That might be a good thing to get a hold of because it can provide a framework for what development can happen down there.
Is that the transportation plan, or does that call for a mix of uses such as the port has right now?
Yeah, it's kind of a mixed-use plan, that, and the port spent over $100,000. But anyway, we're kind of winding it up here, Zeddy. We got maybe a minute left. Any parting thoughts for our listeners?
Well, I hope you vote for me. Any other questions?
No, I think we're done. It's been a real pleasure visiting with Zeddy Nemoel, who's running for city council from Ward 1.
Oh, I just thought of something. One more reason I think that you should vote for me, rather than just vote for me, is I think I represent a demographic that's not currently represented on city council. And, you know, it's tough, you know, juggling family and work and politics, but it really is my passion. And I think that I could represent a lot of Astorians that might be underrepresented right now. So I've got the experience. I represent a large group. So I think those are all good reasons to vote for me.
Well, Zeddy, thanks for being with us here at Coast Community Radio.